The National Trust has some 100,000 items in its textile collections and are of international importance. The Trust's Textile Conservation Studio is their only specialist in-house textile facility and is based in a converted barn near Blickling.
I'm with Moira Jordan this morning from the National Trust Textile Conservation Trust. Moira, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about your work.
Pleasure.
I know there is so much you could tell us about your work in restoring and conserving textiles, but I wonder if we could start by saying a little bit about what's involved in conserving historic textiles.
Well, as we know, textiles are part of everybody's life, from what we wear to what we have in our homes and houses. And the National Trust has wonderful houses which are heavily furnished. And maybe these days we have many fewer home furnishings. But in days gone by, particularly at a period when people moved houses, furnishings were very good because they were easy. You could roll them up and take them with you. So many of those have survived and were wonderful, but it's our responsibility to look after them. And one of the most important things for us is to go to the properties and help them understand the condition of those textiles that are in their properties. They have many, many objects to look after in their properties, and it may be that, particularly things like tapestries, maybe they become part of the building rather than being seen as an object in themselves. And bit by bit, they may be slowly degrading and it hasn't been noticed. So one of the things that we do is we do regular surveys for properties, and we go around and we look at all their textiles. And while textiles are being looked at, so are all the other objects. And we then give them a report about the things that we feel are in urgent need. We give them an overall view of what the condition is, but we then divide it into urgent need, necessary, desirable, or no need at all. And that helps them then plan for when they might need to have conservation done on various objects and what they're going to do if that object goes away from their property, because it will leave a gap, particularly if it's a large tapestry. And how are they going to fill that gap? Or maybe they're going to take it as an opportunity to talk about conservation while it's away. So there are lots of planning before we even get the object to us. And then in order to do that, it's then a planning exercise. And here we look after all textiles across the Trust nationwide. So here we are in our lovely barn in Norfolk, but it is a national service. And so that's, I have a 5-year work programme going up to 10 years, and the surveys help us plan that work as well to make sure that they come in at a timely interval and that the property and the trust together raise the money to do that work.
How do you go about training to become a textile conservator?
We're very fortunate in this country. Conservation is highly regarded, and there are several places where you can train as a conservator. First of all, you have to do an undergraduate conservation degree. Not entirely, but that's usually the route these days. And there are several universities that offer that opportunity. Cardiff, UCL, De Montfort, Lincoln. And those undergraduate degrees show you all different mediums to conserve. So all the different materials. And then usually a postgraduate, which then hones down on the particular material that you want to concentrate on. So it might be paper or textile or glass or metal, whatever it is.
But it's very scientific and both theoretical and practical.
Exactly. It's a marvellous training because it melds together history, science and practical things. And that for many people, it seems, how are they ever going to be able to marry those three love of things? And for my money, that's the perfect thing. That's why I chose it. However, it has to be said that not everybody goes through that that stream to get to conservation. I did an undergraduate degree in economics and politics. Other people come in through chemistry. Some people come in as art historians and then trained postgraduate as a conservator. So it's not unique that you have to start as an undergraduate in conservation, but it's a good start. Then always alongside that, you must do practical work, both during the training course, but also doing volunteering and internships. It's crucial to do that so that you're exposed to different objects in different places, different circumstances, whether it's in museums where it's going to be in a glass case and people are going to be able to see it very closely, or whether it's in the National Trust and it's going to be on open display and be one object in a whole furnished interior. So getting those experiences and the decisions that have to be made behind the conservation, ultimately how you're going to tackle conservation, is really crucial, and understand the ethics of all those different decisions you're going to make. Then, of course, trials for on a science basis as well as a practical basis as to how you're going to tackle the conservation. So all those things come together. So we're sort of problem solvers, we're scientists, we're researchers, and we're craftspeople.
The element of chemistry might surprise many people.
That's crucial to understand how, at the molecular level, you're seeing materials degrade. For example, on a textile, when it's creased or it's folded for a long time,